Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, Coach. We're in the July.
Yeah.
Man, June gone.
Baseball season just ended for college.
Yes, it did. Yeah, it did, man. We had a team from Michigan playing in the College World Series, which I'm pretty sure not most of us, including me, rarely pay attention to the College Baseball World Series. College basketball, college football, but for whatever reason, we don't give that much attention. But now I think I will pay more attention to it because it was good. It was interesting to see some of these young players, man, in baseball.
And then my thing is we were represented well. The African-American was throughout both teams.
Yes, they were, man. Some of the star players. And they would show pictures of past national champions. And it was not a very diverse picture, if you will. And that's one of the things that that struck me about the Michigan's coach, where he said it was, you know, his mission to make sure that his team looked like America.
Yes, sir.
He wanted that diversity. And I think that's a huge compliment for that guy to want to be able to go out and get kids from all walks of life to be on his baseball team.
Man, that's
America's sport, as they call it.
That's right. The baseball dime used to be in the middle of the city. I remember playing.
But unfortunately, our kids gravitate to basketball and football. But as growing up, you know as well as I did. Baseball, we played a lot of baseball growing
did
up.
Did everything. Whatever the weather called for, we was doing.
Yep.
Like, if it was cold outside, we like, oh, we in the gym, hooping. When it got to fall, we playing football, rough and tumble, right?
Yep.
Then when the spring come around,
Baseball.
We got the little VFW club, right?
Yep.
The funeral home, Toombs had a team.
Yep.
I wasn't good at all, but I was
but
just
that's
like, look,
okay. We didn't
I got
care.
I got my little hat on, I'm getting me a sandwich, I'm getting some pizza. I'm with my buddies, I sit in this dugout and just play with my toys and be like, hey, I'm with the fellas.
Right.
So it was
and that's
like,
what it was about,
yeah,
man.
That's what it was about.
You know, and we really need to nurture that again in our community. Everybody can't play basketball. Everybody can play football. But there's probably some kids out there that would play baseball.
Right? And they do have some small leagues around here. I know Hikes had a league.
Oh, good.
It's other leagues. But I know who really got a league, but we're not represented, is over there in Roosevelt Park. That new baseball.
Oh.
All those sponsors.
A few years ago, they made it to, the Little League World
Series.
Yes,
they did.
Okay.
Yep.
So and that's a traveling type of a program. So
that's
there's
right.
a lot of money involved.
But then when you go over there, you look at that baseball diamond, and you see Betting, you see Preferred, you see those banners hanging. You know those banners.
These are parents of the kids that play, or uncles of the kids, grandparents. So these owners, these business owners, help sponsor these
that's
kids
right.
Through their endeavor to play baseball. Along with their traveling team.
And it always be packed. Every time I ride through there, I go through that area, it's always packed. And this is what I see. In the days they don't have games, I see fathers out there pitching to their kids.
Oh, okay.
You know how they little beer out at the pitching mound, pitching to the sun on a Sunday.
Right.
Or late afternoon after school. And the kids, little guys, 6, 7 years old, trying to slap it out the park. But
teaching them the game.
That's
man.
Right. I see it. I see the give back. I see the pushback. I see the efforts of the families, and just we got to push in. We got to be more diverse. Or if the sponsors got to show up for our community too, we got to.
Wouldn't
that
be nice?
Man, that'd be nice.
Cause
they did a whole new baseball diamond. But I'm gonna share something with you. And we're on that topic. The funding for that baseball diamond came from the Nelson neighborhood.
How can a Nelson neighborhood provide Roosevelt Park with a baseball diamond?
Because
doesn't make sense.
Here it goes. I'm not going to get it wrong. It was monies. It was a grant applied for. See, this is how they do stuff. This is how they misuse our zip code. Same zip code in Roosevelt Park is the same zip code in another area that's closer to Nelson Park, Nelson neighborhood. It's the same. So when the grant came through for baseball diamond, somebody applied for it and got it and put the funds over in that area.
Over that way. Wow.
Because I see it with property. So, like, when you talk about Fruitport 49444.
No insurance against 49444. Yeah.
So, they can claim that, right?
Yeah.
So they do a grant. They can claim that. Oh, this is in poverty zone.
Based on
their
zip
code.
That.
They'll use that. So, I've seen that. I've heard it several years ago. And I was like, they're getting a baseball diamond. Now, it's here. But I'm like, we're not represented. Is the kids from the Nelson neighborhood represented? If they wanted to, audience that's listening, you probably could push your team in.
Okay.
Because it's set up for your structure for you to get in. So I'm sharing this on air.
Yeah, because I'm trying to recall if I drive through the Nelson neighborhood, I can't recall anywhere where there's a baseball diamond. I can't. There's not one at the middle school there, the elementary school.
That's right.
There's no parks in that area with a baseball diamond.
So when they got the funding, they probably applied for it to be there. They're like, well, these kids don't play baseball. They wouldn't miss it. Let's move it over here. It's fit the same zip code.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to come, they can come. We're not going to tell them.
Right. We're not going to make no major announcement.
That's right. So I'm making a major announcement that you need to have some pushback.
Oh,
If you got a good team, though, because they not no scrubs, but they will take you in because they got that money appropriated from your zip code. If
you're looking at your neighborhood. They should help us develop a baseball program in that area because the closest baseball diamond to that area is over by Catholic Central High School.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Campbell Field, is it? I think it's Campbell
Field. That's where everybody used to go when my sister used to play in that league when they had the girls' league, the minor league. And that's right.
And it's not well kept as it could be, I think. So you're right. We need to make sure that the city people be held responsible for some of these baseball diamonds.
Yeah, but I know free agency in the NBA is winding down. I'm not going to even mention anything. Just I know people done turned down their exceptions, their millions.
Yeah.
Man, somebody get offered me a salary like that, and I got turned
down. $31 million, you turn it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we know the landscape of the NBA will be different next year than what it is this year. Because some guys are on the move, man.
Getting like wrestling, man, but hey, more power to those brothers and those people that's doing that. I just love it. You can command and you can have control over your career.
Kurt Flood, right, who started, he challenged baseball.
Yes, he did.
Years ago with the, it's like antitrust. Baseball players weren't allowed to move. Owners owned players, all right?
And that's how NBA and was. Yep. The CBA came in and changed.
His lawsuit against Major League Baseball changed that. It created the free agency market that says I should be able to go to the highest bidder. Okay, I shouldn't have to stay here and accept whatever terms that the current ownership is willing to offer. If there's somebody over here that wants to pay me more, I should be able to go. But yeah, Kirk Flood started that, man.
Yep. So hey, man, I ain't
off to a lot of people became millionaires behind that.
Hey, you talking about 300 million. Guys getting pitchers getting 300 million sluggers out of shape, but they're still slapping it out the park.
Yep.
$300 million. Changing families, changing legacies, man. And
changing zip codes.
Even make the president mad because he's like, how do people from Cuba and Dominican Republic can come to this country getting $300 and $400 million?
Yeah, you don't like that.
He ain't like that. So but you know that's whatever.
That's what America's about, man. That's land of opportunity.
That's right. Make America great again. You can come here and go from poverty to millions of dollars.
Be a millionaire. Yes, sir.
So there it is, man. I just wanted to, you know, highlight on those sports topic. And, you know, we're a money show and we're a finance show. And I know last show we was talking about the auto industry,
The new no-fault reform in Michigan, it's starting to take shape. There's still a lot of components yet to be totally filled out, if you will. But I do have some tidbits, and I'll try to share some on a weekly basis, not to overload the show with them. But I'm going to give you a few nuggets today, and then we'll move on to some other topics. One of the new line items in this new bill says redlining is expressly prohibited, which we talked about on our last show. Rate filings must expressly specify that the insured will not refuse to insure, refuse to continue to insure, or limit the amount of coverage available based on the location of the risk. Mm. And that's basically what we talked about was the zip code.
Yeah, I call it redlining, you call it rate, right?
No, it's redlining. Okay. It's exactly still redlining. It's expressly prohibited, no redlining. Now, another component of that, which a lot of people are victims of, is the no penalty for lapsed coverage, okay? Which today is huge. They make a lot of money on people that have lapsed coverage.
Now, when you say lapsed coverage, what does that mean?
I mean, I went in, I purchased a policy, most policies 6 months to a year. I paid for it for 3 months, and then I no longer made payments, So the policy canceled, and it became lapsed. So now I'm driving around without insurance. So I might do that for a year till my time comes to get tags, right?
Yes, sir.
Because you got to have proof of insurance. So now I go back, and I want to purchase insurance, but I have not shown where I've had 6 months of continuous coverage.
That's a problem.
That's a problem. So therefore, I lapsed in coverage. Now I'm hit with a penalty.
Yes, you are.
From all insurance companies, I get hit with a penalty. Well, the no penalty for lapsed coverage or no coverage is going to go away.
Wow, I'm going to share an experience. I think you, I even referred to people to you where they had a relative that didn't have no auto insurance and they bought a vehicle.
Okay.
And they didn't have no auto insurance for like 10 to 15 years because they had
a deceased
husband or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were calling me and like, what should I do? I was like, well, you had a lapsed policy because you are an adult homeowner or wherever you're staying, your residence, you're driving somebody else's car, but you're not on their insurance policy and you don't have your own. Mm-hmm. So like you're in this space where they're going to penalize you. But yep. I was like, where there are small little loopholes that you possibly could get through where you can be added on somebody's insurance for several months and then you can show that you was in a place to have insurance.
Right.
And then now you can get your own. But now you don't even have to do that, you're saying.
With the new law next year.
Okay.
Okay, effective July 1st of 2020. So we at one time had what we call a innocent no prior. Innocent no prior says, I just turned 18, 19, whatever, and I've never had insurance. So in other words, you were innocent in the process of not having insurance, so therefore we're going to give you a break. But for the last 15 years, insurance companies have been able to charge people a higher premium because of this lapse in coverage. But effective July 2020 until January 2022, an insured may not refuse to insure or continue to insure limit available coverage, charge a reinstatement fee, or increase the auto insurance premium of an eligible person applying for auto insurance solely because the person previously failed to maintain insurance for an owned auto. Mm. So they're going to give you a 2-year window in which you don't have to pay these upcharges. But what they're saying is that with this reform, it's going to be affordable, so you should not be having lapse in coverage. So everybody should be having continuous insurance unless you're an individual that's just starting out, purchasing your first vehicle, or what have you. We don't know what's going to happen after that 2-year moratorium. But from July 2020 to January 1 of 2022, you will not be charged for lapse in coverage.
That's a blessing, Tony. Okay, that's a blessing. And see, think about somebody that's aware, like somebody come home from jail. Somebody that's grandmama that ain't haven't been driving in so many years.
Yeah.
The young child that's you just about to put on your insurance, how does that affect that person? The 18-year-old, 16-year-old.
Right, when you put them on, they don't have to, there's no surcharge for that. Whatever the rate is, they'll rate that individual. But if they go out to purchase their insurance on their own, that's a different story.
Okay.
But if you add them to your current policy, then basically there's no upcharge for them not being having prior coverage.
Okay.
It only comes into play when they get it in their name solely.
All right.
Now so you're going to get it. It's going to go away next year. Not until next year.
But then,
but it's only going to be for 2 years now. Okay. Now after that 2-year period, they're going to say, okay, it's sort of like we've given everybody a clean slate.
Like an expungement record or something.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. But
that needs to be advertised. We need to keep on running that.
Oh, man, it's going to be so much stuff, man. Like this next item I got, it's only going to take a few minutes and we'll get through it. But again, as it gets closer, I think we'll spend additional time talking about it. But it says here, mandatory minimum liability coverage effective July 2nd, 2020. The minimum financial responsibility law is changed from 2040 to $250,000/500. So that's a big jump. However, an insured may choose a lower limit, but not less than 50, 110. Insurers must provide applicants with the liability limit options and associated premiums and provide the option select form that sets forth the price for each option and a method of selecting an option. Like I told you, there's going to be a lot of forms that's going to come with this new insurance law.
It's like basically a contract.
Right, because you got to understand what you're signing, because this could impact you financially if you are sued or if you are injured. So people must understand what they are purchasing, okay? And it said the state in a conspicuous manner, which says that you just got to be a big sign in your office that here are all your options. So a conspicuous manner says that you got to make sure that everybody can see what these liability limits are. You got to provide a way for a person to mark the form to acknowledge that he or she received a list of the liability options available and the price for each option, and provide a way for the person to mark the form to acknowledge that he or she has read the form and understands the risk of choosing the lower liability limits. So again, people must be cognizant of what they're purchasing when this new law comes in.
And they won't let you get nothing just...
You just can't walk inside the papers and out the door. Not going to happen. You must totally understand, because if something were to happen and you say, well, nope, I didn't sign those papers or I didn't understand it, your signature signifies that, yes, you said at that time you understood what you were purchasing, so you have no right to sue anybody because the limits that you chose are not, you know, what you really should have had.
That's like kind of like going to a title company now.
Yeah.
Like when you buy a house and you say, well, your closing's coming up, here go all the documents you got signed. It's going to get like that.
Yeah. And you say, well, I didn't read it. Well, you signed it.
Yeah, because that title company, that take a long time. So they sign on papers.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, because they telling you the riders that you have on it, the mold, whatever. So it's like you looking at, when you sign this paper, it's yours.
Yep. That's it. You, whatever it is, you purchased it, you signed it. So yeah, it's gonna be different, man. It's gonna be different. So we'll give another little tidbit next show, but that's it for this show. And of course, there'll be a lot of questions later on down the road for our audience. And please feel free to contact us.
Yeah. So leaving from the insurance, going right into the college season. We talked about college baseball, but hey, it's that season where those kids got accepted into college during that season, that January, right?
Right.
You got your acceptance letters, you committed to the schools, and then all of a sudden when May came around, you got that financial aid award letter.
Okay.
Yep. You got that financial aid award letter. And I have a primary letter right in front of us.
Okay.
It's a makeshift letter, and I've had one of these, and you get them every semester.
Every semester.
Yep. Or you get them every, and you know, the next semester you just say you got this, you sign this at the beginning of the year, or doing your FAFSA time. That's the time you get your financial aid. So you get this award letter.
Okay.
You know? So it has an award letter. I'm just going to read it, Tony. It says, "Dear student, it says, congratulations, you have your admission to Elite College. We have reviewed your application and the information you have provided on your free application for financial aid, student aid, and are pleased to make the following financial aid offer to you for the 2019-2020 academic year. Please review the award below carefully and feel free to contact our office if you have any questions. The deadline to confirm which portions of this award you plan to accept is May 1st. So,
okay.
If you go through the letter, and it says sincerely the financial aid director. So after you do your FAFSA, if your parents are going to claim you on your taxes, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you're going to be an independent student, that means you're going to file your own taxes and all that, do the due diligence, that changes your amounts. But here's an example of an actual letter. So we got a financial aid award letters, Elite College Academic Scholarship. So it's broken up in the fall and the spring, and it says this person has $4,500 for each semester, that's $9,000. And it goes on and says a college award, $5,000, $2,500 each semester.
Mm-hmm.
It says a state grant, $1,000 each semester, $2,000. Federal work study, I had that. I worked at the IM Circle, IM, and always around the sports stuff. And they gave me the money up front, but I had to work for it. It was like in the bank. It was like, it's your money, Chauncey, but you got to be here 20 hours per week or you can't get it. I'm like, well,
okay,
it's in my award letter. No, you got to do something. We got to teach you how to be an American citizen, learn how to earn what you got. So that was about $2,000 for the year. Then it's these last three are the ones that are the doozies for people. The federal direct unsubsidized and subsidized loans were for $3,500 and $2,000 broken up between $17,500 and $1,000 each semester. And the last but not least, the Parent Plus loan, $5,000 each semester, $10,000. And we're going to try to explain that today also on the show, just how Parent Plus loans work. But this particular person got $16,000 each semester, Oddly, and they require
total. They got a total award for $16,000
each semester, right? But in a total year, they got $33,550. So then if you look at the bottom, Tony, it says this person, they must go to a private school because that year it says $62,820.
Estimated cost of attendance, $62,000.
To live there, eat,
room,
go to school.
Board, school. Right. Okay.
So now they got this letter, they got this scholarship on here, and then they got their award letter, they apply everything, and they still got a balance of $29,250. So they got the loans, they got this, they got that. So somebody going to have to go in their actual pocket.
Still $29,000 short.
Yeah, that's when that $529.
For the year.
Yeah.
For the year. Okay.
So $15,000 each semester, that's that $529 savings plan that you could probably start up with that. We're going to be talking about it in later shows, but breaking down the actual letter, looking at Department one that they had the first portion it mentions. You'll usually need to work with the financial aid office to accept each part of the financial aid award. I'm gonna give you an example. I had a student that accepted a basketball scholarship, a guy, a relative of mine, and he didn't understand how his award letter went. So he met with his counselor, financial aid, and everything, and they showed him. So then the college coach was like, we're going to give you this money. And it's called TIP. Michigan has this TIP program.
Okay.
Where you get it, oddly, between $7,500 and $9,000 a year, right?
Okay.
You qualify income-based or free reduced lunch in school, you know, that type of money.
Gotcha.
So he had that on his award letter, right? And he had to, he didn't have to have no loans because he was on a full academic, full scholarship for sports, right? But even though I say full scholarship, you got to live somewhere.
Right.
It's going to cost $5,000 a semester to live somewhere on somebody's campus. It's $10,000 to live on that campus.
Okay.
Right? A year. So I know that. So I'm 76. So he gets worried. His parents call me. John, he can't go to that school. The coach lied to us. He said it was a full ride. I say, hold on now. I say, it is a full ride. I said, where the award letter at? I say, here you go. And it's like, all right, looking at the money. I say, oh, this right here don't come till like July. This don't kick in till July. Oh, why didn't he tell us? I say, the coach said he had a full ride. Did y'all talk to the coach? No, we talked to the financial aid office.
Oh, no.
I say, no, talk to the coach. Because he going to tell you, because he know how the money go. He know the kid had TIP, and he seen him as a good recruit for his program. Because he like, he got this money, he's a decent player, and he can pay for his housing. Well, he ain't got to drive all the way back to Muskegon and still go to our campuses.
Right.
A school in state, on the other side of the state, lower region, southwest type of area, you know? So he's about 2 hours away from here. So I'm like, he can't drive every day.
No, that's not.
Right. So this school, this small school, has a dormitory, like a junior college. Mm-hmm. So he got the TIP money. He's using the TIP money to stay on campus and put money in his pocket.
Gotcha.
But he thought that if he didn't have enough, because he said, well, they lied to me. They lied. I said, no, it's called a disbursement.
Right. You don't give it all at once.
Yeah, you don't get it all at once. So then the government controls when the button is pushed on that money, that TIP money, and the other grants and the scholarship you got, it come at a certain time. I remember being in college because I was on scholarship, and then when it's time, when they push that button, that's when that other check come out.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
we know what day that is. I've seen that date, man.
Yeah, I like that day. Especially when you're on scholarship. You know, you got scholarship money come back. When they say,
getting a meal.
When you got a full ride, and they show you, like, you got a full ride, and you got this other money for books, vehicle, living. The check hit. When the check hit, that's why I tell kids, do their best in school, Tony.
Right. That's it.
That check comes, you just amazed. And we're not talking about no loans or anything. We're talking about your scholarship money.
Yeah.
When you apply for those extra scholarships, that money is yours in your pocket.
It's yours. And, you know, it's no disrespect to the parents of the young man, but, again, he was probably the first in the family to maybe get exposed to higher education.
That's right.
And how that all that stuff works.
And that's why he called me. He was like, he knew I would know.
You know, guys like you become a resource because it's something that you have a passion for. You've stayed close to it, stayed involved in it. And for those in the listening audience that, you know, feel that they don't quite understand the whole process,
call us.
Reach out. Talk to somebody. You know, and it's not always the answer to call a financial aid or the coach or whatever. It's okay to call somebody that's local, that's been through the process, that can help you understand.
I've been through the process, and I study this stuff all the time, Tony, because I want to make sure our kids avoid getting in debt.
As much as possible.
I actually sat with the kid. I sat with the kid, and we picked. It was four schools recruiting him. Some of them was out of state. Two of them was in state, and they were offering all type of monies. Okay. This one offered me $30,000, but the award letter looked like you guys still got $20,000 left. They got one I'm reading right now. I said, "Oh, you can't do that. You can't go there."
No, because you got to look at their fee structures. Being out of state is totally different. Yeah, they might offer you $30, but at the end of the day, it's $50. It's $50 to go to the school. So you got to make up the shortfall. You got to look at it.
You grew up in my house. My dad looking at you like, boy, that's why you supposed to got all A's and B's. You get jump shot better.
Okay. You should have worked harder on your game.
I ain't got that. That's how that kid responds.
No. And trust me, that still happens today for kids that want to go to school, man.
Yep. So then number two, most colleges list all types of financial aid, the scholarships, grants, loans, work, study together. So I'm just going over the letter in detail for everybody to get a comprehensive idea. And it's good to sit down and just don't sign the paper and say, I'm taking all the money. Because sometimes you might not need all the money because they might put a loan on there or something that you don't want.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that Parent Plus loan, you need to talk about that, man.
I think I'm going to probably say that for next week, but I'm going to share a concept with you. I had a client call me the other day, and that's why we're talking about this financial aid award letter, because she signed for a Parent Plus loan in her daughter's freshman year, right, Tony?
Okay.
So since she signed freshman year, her daughter just kept on getting the award letter came. She moved off campus. She just kept on getting the Parent Plus.
Uh-huh.
So she signed.
She's pushing the button.
Yep. She kept on pushing the button. Like, oh, that's my award letter. Oh, I'm cool. I'm grown now. My mom. Okay. So then with the Parent Plus, she getting $5,000 every year. So this parent called, I owe $36,000 to this school, and my kid did not finish this university.
Mm-hmm.
So this client live in another state. And I'm like, what? They didn't finish? You owe $36,000? So what's the payment? I work. I make pretty good money. I seen the income. I'm like, wow. So you can afford it. I said, I ain't trying to pay that. So I had to put her with a program to help her get rid of it. But I'm thinking like, man, how many people parents?
They could have cut that off a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
They didn't have to continue to get that parent. That award, every year. Just keep rolling it over.
So that check came. It came. It was coming. But our mama probably was thinking it was part of a scholarship or something.
Right.
But it was really a loan she on the hook for at $300 a month after the kid. Don't have to graduate.
No. That's
6 months. It's called 6 months severance from the campus or the university. When you stop taking classes, and the timetable starts 6 months after.
They want their money.
So they're going to send you a bill. They're going to let you know. So it's important, audience, to read that award letter. Number three, scholarships and grants, also known as gift aid, may come from the federal government, your state, your college, or a private organization. That's what I said when July come. That's when they push that button. Because they're like, okay, school about to start in either August or some colleges, right?
You're right. Oh,
so
yeah.
In July, he's going to have his money. He might want to move in early, or this person going to be here. They might make him come second summer session to be with the team, to lift weights. So he got to make sure that money hit. When that money hit in July, he's accepted. He's in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that goes and says work study won't directly reduce your tuition, fees, and other costs. Students who get this award will receive a paycheck for a work study job on campus based on the number of hours they work.
And that's good. That keeps you involved in the campus. Me coming from small city like Muskegon Heights and going to a campus as big as my city, that helped me learn the intricate workings of the campus. And I met people on campus like professors, older students that could help me on my work study job.
Right.
And I built positive relationships. So now I see why work study is necessary. It doesn't lower the cost of the school. It's money that you can make in your pocket. So you can go out to the movies and hang out every once in a while and do some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, letting you know that there's some things you need to work for, right?
Yes, sir. Number five, financial aid awards often include federal loans and may also suggest Parent Plus or private loans. We're going to talk about that Parent Plus next week because we're going to really get into that as an option. But with few include details about the interest rates on the other loan terms, families should generally max out the federal loan award to the student, which come with flexible payment options and other protections before considering a Parent Plus loan
or a private loan. I tell everybody that. Get as much you can get in the federal, subsidized and unsubsidized. Avoid the
the loans.
The loan, the other loan.
Yeah, scholarships. You know, that we really,
scholarships.
We need to understand that process too.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it. I don't think we really take advantage of the scholarships that are available out
there. Are they on their own platform? Or doing right. Like we just said, the Parents Plus loan is a caveat that'll catch you up. You're like, oh, this is good money. But then it's separate. It's on you, parent.
Right.
You could be in your retirement income paying a Parent Plus loan back.
I know a few of them that are there, bro.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So I'm like, you need to get some help. I can help you, but in the same capacity, going forward, get as much as you can get federally. So then when it comes to paying it back, if your kid want to be a nurse, a doctor, a police officer, and they working this job in a nonprofit sector, mm-hmm. they can cancel that debt.
Yeah, sort of like the America's Promise.
Yes, that's right. So next one says, many award letters don't include detailed costs of attendance information or omit some expenses.
Then they do because they got them taxes and fees. They come.
Okay.
Ooh, and then when they hit you, like, what they charge me? $600-$700 for taxes and fees? Who is that to? That's when you start learning about the government and say, hey, it's good to pay some taxes.
Yes,
sir. You
see
some of that money back, even as a student. The last part, when we subtract it, it says, number seven, this letter subtracts all types of financial aid, including more than $15,000 in loans from the school's sticker price, which makes the school appear to be more affordable.
Well, $29,000 being left where I grew up at, that's not more affordable. Even if my parents did save some money for me to go, my daddy still was like, I'm not going to pay no
$29,000. No, it's not going to happen.
You
got to
go down the road. If you can't do the work and all that, I'm not going to be doing that
for you. I'm not signing for the loan.
If it's your dream, it shouldn't be that hard.
Right. Because it's your dream.
It's your dream. Yep. So
we're going to share next week. We're going to share a Parent Plus loan. I'm going to share a situation where a friend of mine, an older friend of mine, capitalized on the loan industry and used his retirement with the RMDs to double his money. And we're going to talk about that next week.
Good.
But this is I just know a lot of my students. I've been going to open houses, been hearing from parents, been looking at the equation and looking at their financial aid award letters. Tony, so I wanted to talk about this
good.
Issue.
Good topic.
So they can still approach us in the community.
Yeah. Before you do your sermons for the day, scriptures for the day,
I'd like
to say that I have a special guest in the
studio
today. My granddaughter, Kima Lantrice Williams, is here. She's not going to say hello, but that's okay. but she is here to see what we do.
That's right. She can see what we do. So hopefully she can major in journalism and we can see her on television.
Right.
Making at least $250,000 a year.
Okay.
Doing this. So, hey, this is an opportunity for her to see how it works. The scripture today, good for nothing, trust God for the least. It says Psalms 35, verse 27. But give great joy to those who came to my defense. Let them continually say, great is the Lord who delights in the blessing, his servant with peace. And that's what we're going to have. Peace today. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide for credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.